Well, we're our series. I didn't put the title up, but it's Jesus on Purpose. Kind of clever, huh? Jesus for life, Jesus on purpose. We just couldn't get enough Jesus. Had to go into 2021. We figured we needed him there just as well. You notice it didn't magically change when the calendar changed. It's still kind of like 2020, all right? And I just want to say that we're going to be talking today about a pretty familiar passage of Jesus being baptized and Jesus going into the desert for 40 days and being tempted by the devil. And as we're going into, I just want to say a few things before we dive into the passage, is that, you know, we've talked a lot, about, especially last week, about God being fully God, sinless, divine, but also fully man. And that's hard to wrap your mind around. You know, I've never been able to quite get that. That and the Trinity are two things that are really hard to wrap my mind around. But what I can say is the longer I've known Jesus, the more amazing it is, the more it is something that I love about who God is and understanding that to even a little bit I can understand it. And so as we talk about that, what we want to emphasize is this place that Jesus actually came and made himself a man. He came as a man. He took on that image, and he was fully God and fully man. And so when he grew, he grew in wisdom and stature. And so the thing about this is that as we look into this, what I want to just emphasize as we're looking at this passage is to really put yourself into the place of who Jesus is and what's going on inside of him. And not say, oh, it's Jesus. He's doing this. We said last week that Jesus not only came to this earth to be a human, to die for us, he also came to live for us. So as we look at how he lives, it shows us who he is and it affects us. And so I encourage you to do that as we go through here. And so I want to start with this verse that is kind of goes along the same lines of how do we take in when we're reading scripture, reading stories about Jesus, listening to Jesus' words, listening to the letters to the church, all of scripture. And I think one of the best ways to help us understand how to approach scripture, especially we're going to kind of be focusing, since we're focusing specifically on who is this Jesus, but all the time, it says in John, it says, now he's talking to the religious leaders, and he says, "You now, can you imagine this, being a devout religious leader who's doing everything to try to follow every command, and here's what Jesus says to him. They know the scripture inside and out. And it says, "You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you." Wow. "For you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life." So here we have these people who knew scripture, who were taking in scripture, who were meditating, memorizing scripture, and yet they missed knowing God. Scripture is to help us know Jesus, right? It's they refuse, as it says, you know, to have scripture take them to who God was and to who Jesus was. Now, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen God the Father, you know? And if you know me, you know God the Father. And I say this because as we go through this text, it's, you know, I'm Mr. Exhorter, right? I always like A, B, C, do this, this, this. I'm trying to loosen up on that a little bit, right? Because sometimes we jump past certain things when we look at scripture. We start putting the application and we start thinking, oh, how do I look like that? And what I would say about this is that we have to understand that when we're studying and thinking and meditating and listening to scripture, the purpose is for it to take us to Jesus, to come to him. And You know, you can, you know, you have people you know about, right, that you can be inspired by. Like, wow, that life, that person's amazing. You learn all the facts about them, and you actually, it's a good thing. You're inspired by them. But see how different that is by somebody that you know that is an amazing person, and you're actually in a relationship with you? It changes it. You begin being transformed by that relationship. And the same is with God, is that these Pharisees, they were trying to understand who God was, right? They were trying to get who he was, but they just decided, I'm just going to stick with what he looks like, and I'm going to try to be like that. I'm going to just follow the things that he says, and they completely missed the life of God in them. So, when we look at this story of him being baptized and him going out for these 40 days in the wilderness, you know, begin asking God, just looking at Jesus, say, who are you? What's going on here? What's happening inside of you? And so last week we talked about, you know, through Christmas we talked about his birth and up to 12 years old. Last week we talked about 12 years old. Now we're going to really fast forward, and he's 30 years old. And remember, he said that Jesus, because he chose to be both God and man, he grew in wisdom and stature. And what that helps us here know is when now we're watching him in this particular story, we can say, wow, I can see what's down inside of him, right? I can see what God's put in Jesus as he grew in wisdom and stature. And so as we talk about these things, I encourage you to begin kind of looking and saying, what's down inside of Jesus, and how's that impact me as I come to, how's that take me to him as well? All right, so let's go to starting in Luke 3. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. You know what that means? I don't. But it's pretty amazing. That's the best way they could describe it. It's something you'll never forget when heaven's open. One version says it was tore open. Heaven was open. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form. Again, the best words they know, it was a dove. I don't know if it disappeared. It stayed a dove. I don't know, but it was dramatic. This dove came down, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Now, here we have this scene. John the Baptist is baptizing. You know, he's the guy back we talked in Christmas who leaped in Elizabeth's womb. He's a little older now, a little older than Jesus. He's preparing the way for the Messiah. He's very clear that he knows this is the one. He talks earlier about saying that, you know, I'm here, but this Messiah who's coming, I'm not even worthy to go down and untie his sandals, right? So this is John's understanding. And then we see this place in which he's baptized in the Jordan River, and all these people are getting baptized, and if you can imagine this, like Jesus shows up. And John basically says, no, you should baptize me. And I just, very awkward, like I can't. And he says, let it be so, it is proper for me to do this to fulfill all of righteousness. And then John consented, and so he baptized him. And then the fireworks happen, right? Heaven opens up. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. Now, he had the Holy Spirit, but in empowering comes upon him. And then out of a voice that everybody heard, said these things of that I love you, and you're my beloved son, and I'm well pleased. In Matthew, it says, then at that moment, this next thing happens. Like, right directly after that, this takes place. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Again, this is where Mark says, at once, Jesus sent him, propelled him into the wilderness. Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing for those days. At the end of them, he was hungry. I like this kind of statement, just in case you're wondering. He was hungry. All right. The devil said, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone.' The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world." So this is, if you can imagine this, he's in this desolate place trying to do this, and all this is happening, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a spiritual thing where he's able to see all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, and he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And he goes on and says, "And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on a high point in the temple." In other words, he didn't go to Jerusalem, but he's at a spot where he began, like in the moment he showed the king. Now he's back on a high part of the temple. All right. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written," this is just really a good point here, the devil quotes scripture. So remember that. All right. "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus says, "It is said," and quote scripture, "do not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil finished all his tempting. He left him until an opportune time. Now, this is a passage that has so much in it. You could take a long time on it. We're going to be focusing on just a few things in this. But as you can imagine this place, I mean, this, you know, this is what a wilderness looks like in the Middle East, right? This is, it's just rocky, desolate place. And so just imagine Jesus fully experience all that we'd experience in this situation, where he's, first off, he comes in, and he knows it's right to be, show the model of baptism. Again, he's living for us, showing us things of how we're to live. And so he's baptized. And in this baptism, he has this amazing affirmation. The infilling of the Holy Spirit in the level that it's obviously different than what he had before, and an anointing, an empowering of his Holy Spirit. And it even says as he went into the wilderness, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't just a flash thing, it's something that resided with him. He's in all these harsh elements. I mean, he goes from that to instantly, okay, I'm going to go into the wilderness. This is where God's leading me. And he doesn't eat. Some people say he fasts. I think he had to fast because he was called to the wilderness. There's nothing to eat. So it's just, anyway, he had, for 40 days, he didn't eat. I get grumpy about 12, right? It's a spot in which 40 days is a place in which that you're really close to even starvation. You are in a spot of tremendous weakness in your natural body. Probably dehydrated, probably trying to keep his mind straight. And then the devil is allowed to tempt him. Not a good day. And what's interesting, when he tempts him, wanting him to turn from God, which is sin, right? Any way he can. He didn't care how he does it, you know? And his temptations are interesting. He basically talks about this place and hits all the things of need and provision and hunger. He says, how about a nice piece of bread? Now notice, remember I keep going back to Philippians 2, where it talks about Jesus did not grasp his identity, because that's what God asked him to do. He made himself a servant. He did not grasp his divinity. He chose not to do that. And if you look at this line of temptations, it's aiming at a lot of that and other things as well. And so he says, why don't you, if you are, and so you notice the first thing he does, he begins questioning his identity. Are you really the Son of God? Now, he just heard that, a dove come down, pretty important, but it's like this is where he's coming at right there. And then he goes on to say, and the bread, but then he defends it and quotes scripture. And then you see this, it goes to this high place, this place where he says, this place where, what does he feel right now in his flesh? I'm about as low as it goes as a human right now. I have no power, I have no authority, I have no control over anything. You want some authority, I can give it to you. Look at that. Just all you have to do is yield to me. Just bow down to me. He quotes scripture. And then he takes him to this place of Jerusalem, and it's this spot of, this is much more about showing that he is truly, again, questioning again, are you really who you say you are? If you're really, so that's the question. And the idea here was, this is biblical. He's going to take care of you, show that you are the Son of God as you jump off, which is probably a combination, I want to get this thing over with, and I want to also just trust God. I want comfort. I want cared for. I want to be seen. All those things are all in our human response to this. And he quotes scripture, and the enemy leaves him. So, what do we see in Jesus? As we think of, if I put ourselves in this story, what are the things that we see in Jesus? See, the thing about seeing things in people, we see the outside of things. We can see how things are like, how did that happen? And we figure out, oh, it's something that we can't see usually. Like, for the people who ever worked on cars, there's this thing called an engine, right? And it's kind of important. You can have a beautiful looking car and you think, how does this thing do so well? It's the engine. You open and think, oh, there's lots of things that you can't see that make that car do what it does, and you go, wow, that's how that happened. Usain Bolt, when he runs the 100 meter in less than 10 seconds, you go, how does he do that? And you think, well, you can't see how he does that. It's all below, it's down below in places you can't see. And what I love about this scripture, it's showing us the things in Jesus' heart that we can actually say, we get a visual, we get to go down to place of the things that are probably going on inside of him. We get to understand what is in him. How does he live this way, right? Now, the things that I see in Jesus in this, and the things that stand out to me, like, because in Jesus, I mean, what don't we want to know this? How does he do it? And of course, I know the answer. He's Jesus. But that's not quite so easy to answer when you understand he was fully human, right? That's a different kind of a question. Someone who didn't grasp his divinity, but relied upon his relationship with Jesus, how did he do this? You know, have you ever thought about that? How does Jesus love the way he loves? People who hate him and despise him and slander him and betray him and mock him, people, all kinds of people, he loves them. To the very last moment, he never doesn't love them. His love increases for them. How does he do that? How does he do the things that he does when he speaks with such authority and speaks with authority of scripture, it goes down into your heart as he's speaking? How does he cast out a demon? You know? How does he heal someone? How does he do these miraculous miracles? How does he do that, right? That's a good question. It's Jesus, right? That's part of the answer. But it's more than that. It's showing us here some key things that I think that will help us in how does he do it. I think the first is he's fully yielded. I mean, the baptism is interesting because he didn't have anything to repent for at the baptism of John. And that's why John was a little thrown off by it. But he did it as a place of showing it's appropriate to do. But even in that, he's showing that what does baptism show? I no longer live by the flesh. I live a new life in my relationship with my Father, right? And Jesus was saying he was fully committed to his love of his Father and to listen to whatever his Father said and respond to his Father. I think the second thing that I see in this is that, you know, he was filled and led by the Spirit. It's interesting that we even see here that as he's moving into this 3 years, he has this additional empowerment of the Spirit that comes upon him. And he's full of the Holy Spirit. And that's just a command in Acts to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? The other thing I think that stands out to me when I look at this passage is he's clear on his identity. I mean, he knew who he was. And here's what he knew. He knew that his father loved him unconditionally. He knew that he was beloved, right? And he knew God was pleased with him. All the things that we get to have only because of what Jesus did. But he knew those things. That was central. And I think the other is that what stands out to me, and you've heard me use this many times because I use this as an example a lot, but we have to understand Jesus is showing us how to live. And what Jesus had is he knew Scripture. And he didn't get it as some, you know, mystical download at one moment. He did it because he had 30 years of living according to Scripture, of studying and learning what Scripture was. It was built into him. Unlike the Pharisees who didn't have God's word in his heart, he had God's word in his heart, right? In a way that he lived according to it. In this place in which you think about this, is there a point here when he's at his worst point, where he's at a spat of, you know, when you've fasted for 40 days, if I've fasted for 40 days, no matter how spiritual you think I am, which I know you don't, but if you did, if I fasted for 40 days and hadn't eaten and been roaming around the desert, don't let me drive, right? I mean, it's just like, I'm not thinking straight. I'm not at my best, I think I can, I will. You know, we just don't have much willpower at that point. We are at the lowest point. And Jesus, in a human level, was at his most vulnerable point. So how did he stand up against this direct attack with evil and the enemy? He did it by just saying, oh, wait a second, that's not right. It is written, and Scripture that was in him came to his mind, and he just said it. And even when the enemy tried to distort Scripture, he knew that wasn't true and said it again. We have to understand God wants Scripture to take us to life, right? It's there not to restrict us, to keep us in line. It's there to free us to live life well. Now, so saying all that, you know, this is something that we just need to understand. God wants this in all of us, right? This week, I'm sure everybody has their own stories, but it was just a normal day on Thursday, and I was just kind of getting through it. It was strange. I was actually on a Zoom with Emily McCall, and she says, you know, Ben called me. There's something going on at the Capitol. They're going to break in. I thought, I'll check with it later, right? Didn't even think much about it. And I turned on the news about 6:30 or so, and there's this live report. And I'm watching this stuff going on, and I thought, wow, what do I do with this? I don't know. I just kept kind of rewatching it. I don't know what to do with it. Have you guys ever felt that this year? Other times? I run across this all the time. Like, what do I do with it? I really don't know what to do with it, and I don't have any plan for how I should respond. And there's so many things this last year I don't know what to do with, right? I don't know what I should do or what this is going to mean. I don't know how this is going to go. And so in the middle of watching that, about 6:30, kind of not sleeping great that night, I wake up the next morning and we get an alert because while I was watching it, I found out later through a police officer, Some people went down our pathway, went over to Kirkwood High School, and graffitied hate and racial slurs all over the high school. And they did it on Knifer, and they did it on where our girls used to go at North Middle, all the same time that's happening. These are the schools that Ani is going to the next day. This is the school that Connie goes to, school my girls go to, had gone to. And so I'm just in the middle of that. I find out, oh, by the way, on the 6th, record numbers have died. Over 3,800 people have died in one day. Like, okay, can we stop, right? What do you do with all this? With all the, I can name money or more things, right? You know what I'm talking about this whole year. And the thing about it is that we have to understand the way we live in places of peace and joy and power is not grabbing control and getting all the circumstances right. It's these things. That's it. If you want to do well in life, be fully yielded to God. Yield yourself to Him completely. I know that's an ongoing life story of mine. I say I'm yield all the way to God. Am I? Well, but the more you yield fully to God, the more you experience God. Be filled with and be led not by ideology, not by debate and reason so much as all those are part of it, but be led by God's Spirit and be full of God's Spirit, welcoming Him to fill you every day. And be clear on who you are in Christ, that you're His beloved child who He longs to be near, and know Scripture and trust Scripture. You know, so let me give you a few things on the invitation. Moving others towards Jesus. Read over this passage slowly and prayerfully. There's so much in here that we had to kind of zip past. Just go back and read over this passage, looking for what Jesus experienced and for what is in His heart. Begin saying, what's under the hood here in Jesus? What's going on in His heart? And then invite the Holy Spirit to highlight whatever He wants to communicate to you. In other words, understand He wants to speak to you through His Scripture and through His Holy Spirit. And moving other towards Jesus, I just put, welcome the Holy Spirit and Scripture into your interactions and responses with others. Boy, that would be helpful this year, wouldn't it? If I could have remembered to welcome the Holy Spirit into every one of my responses, every one of my reactions. God, what are you saying? How do I respond here? Holy Spirit, lead me in how to respond. Scripture, speak to me on how, what is it that's true here? How do I respond? This is where the enemy does not wipe us out in the desert, whether it be the literal desert or COVID or whatever you want to put in there. And so I just want to encourage you, really dive in during this time. Keep loving Scripture. Keep studying Scripture. Keep opening yourself wide to the Holy Spirit and keep asking Him to show you, how do I respond here? And give up control. Just you.